Let's try and turn that frown upside down. Because, well, we've got a reason to be cheerful. We've got lots of reasons to be cheerful, even in January. Just, you know, merely being alive. So I've got a very special guest in with me now. Her nickname is The Happiness Speaker. Also author of the book Recipe for Happiness. It's Frederica Roberts from Doncaster. Hello, Frederica.
Hello, Vic. Hi.
Now, are you officially the most happiest person ever?
Well, I think that title officially went to a French Buddhist monk called Mathieu Ricard. But yes, I have been known to be called quite annoying and irritating because I'm very cheerful. But happiness is about much more than that, really.
That's a good point you make, because as much as obviously positivity and happiness is contagious, there are just some people who can't be doing with it sometimes. They just want to, and I, you know, I am there listening to my Radiohead albums, feeling very sorry for myself, etc. And sometimes it's just like, oh, why are you so happy? You make me sick.
Yep. I'm sure lots of people feel like that, and I'm sure I've been told more than once.
Well, I'm sure you know how to wind yourself in, as it were, as well.
Yes. And really, happiness is actually much more than just that outward cheerfulness. It is actually about having the resilience to bounce back when things go wrong. It's about feeling really centered and secure with who you are and what you believe in and what you stand for. And being able to really enjoy the great times and make the most of them. But when things aren't so great, being able to kind of let yourself feel that, but know that it's going to get better. And I think that's the difference between feeling like you're in complete despair and feeling that there's hope. It's if you know, okay, it's really rubbish now, but it will get better. And I know what to do to make myself feel better. And it might take a week, it might take 6 months, depending on the severity of the situation. But I know that I can do something and it will get better. And that's the difference.
I guess that there's a lot of people who, when they do, say, fall into the hole. That's how I'd like to sort of coin it as a metaphor. But falling into the hole, it can, you think, I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this. And I think experience proves, hopefully, if it's a first time falling in the hole experience proves that you do get out of it and you do move on. So that's just echoing everything you're saying. Yeah. Now, what is the recipe for happiness?
Well, the first and most important thing in the recipe for happiness is that you've got to want to be happy and to accept that actually sometimes that takes a bit of work. I think some people think, well, you're either a naturally happy person or you're not. But, you know, we work on relationships, we work on our careers, we work on all the things that matter in life. Why don't we think we should work on happiness? It's part and parcel of our lives and what we are and what we do. So accepting that, first of all, that's the first step. And then there are a number of things you can do. I think if you'd like me to give you top three, if that will help.
Yes, let me just make a note. Yeah, go on.
And she actually is making notes. So one of them that's really, really quick for a little boost is, and for your listeners who can't see me, I'm clearly not the example of this, but exercise. But I do exercise, and even just having a little walk at lunchtime, if you're at work, for example, particularly at this time of year, because you do need that daylight to actually boost yourself. So getting outside and doing a bit of exercise, a bit of walking in daylight is great. And the exercise itself boosts your endorphin release, so that's actually a happy hormone. It's a painkiller. It gives you a high, a bit like an opiate, really. So it's like being on drugs without the drugs, just from doing exercise.
Yes, it is. It's brilliant. Yes.
And one of my favourite forms of exercise, I'm actually trained to do this, is laughter yoga. So you can actually laugh for no reason whatsoever, and what a great way to exercise.
Do you know what? I'm actually training in that this year.
Are you?
Yes, I am. Mm. Looking for forward to just exploring the lightness of laughter. Fortunately, I make myself laugh quite a lot because I am deluded and I find the most absurd things hilarious, and I'm quite free with my laughter as well. I don't censor myself, really.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of my friends when we go to see a show, I have one of those embarrassing laughs that sort of, you know, resonates throughout the audience. But certainly, yeah. Laughter, another one. So we've got exercise.
So exercise, yeah. And I kind of lump the laughter in with that because it is a form of exercise in a way. One of the other things that's really simple, and I know probably lots of people already do it, but it's easy to forget. So I always like to remind people, and that's practicing gratitude. So some people like to do it with a jar that they maybe open once a year and look at all their gratitudes for the year, or once a month. I like to write down 3 gratitudes every day as a minimum in a diary. Mm. And that makes a huge, huge difference. It just changes your perspective.
Give us an example.
For example, simple thing. It's a really, really cold day and I had to get up really early this morning, really early, 5 o'clock this morning. And I don't like getting up early in the morning. So I could either be miserable about that or think, well, actually, it's so great that I have a hot bed that I don't want to leave in the first place. And it's really great that I have a lovely hot shower to get into when I get out of that hot bed. And I got up extra specially early, which meant I could actually give my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter Charlie, a lift to Sheffield where she comes to school, which was an added bonus because it's a bit of extra time with her. So that's something to be grateful for as well. So it's little things sometimes, you know, the really little things that we just take for granted and don't think about.
That's a really good tip, because it's not necessarily gratitudes, but I decided I'm one of those people, and we all know them, and perhaps it's you yourself, but you say every year, every new year, I'm going to keep a journal this year. Every day, I'm going to, you know, work out how I'm feeling every day, and I don't have time, and I lose interest very, very quickly. But instead, this year, I decided to have a rather large jar, and in the jar, I would place a piece of paper every day with a highlight of the day, so I had to search for it.
Yeah.
And then also I could sort of, you know, mediate on it as well afterwards and just thought, yeah, it was a good day. As an example, left work the other day from my other job. Left work the other day and it's about an hour and a half walk. I like to go for a good walk. But I found a discarded child's scooter in a park, right? I thought, I'm going to get on this. Right? So I scooted all the way home, an hour and a half. It only took me half an hour to get home on this child's scooter. So if you did see a rather large lady on a scooter very early in the morning, then that was me. And do you know what? I don't care what you think, because it was a highlight of my day.
Love it.
Then I discarded it in a bush, of course, afterwards. Because that's how it works, you know, with free transport. You have to discard it in a bush. So we've got exercise, we've got laughter. We've got practicing gratitude. That's your top three.
Well, there's one more if I can give you, and that's a really big one, and it's a kind of more long-term one, but it's doing good for others, being really, truly altruistic, and particularly if you give your time. I mean, it's great to give money to charity, but actually if you can find a way to volunteer your time, whether it's to a charity on a regular basis or just giving your time, it could be 5 minutes to help somebody out with something, whether it's at work, helping a colleague with something that they're struggling with, anything like that. If you can give your time to other people, that's a really good way to actually boost your happiness. So you're actually helping others and you're helping yourself in the process. And if you do that regularly, that's a really big, big happiness booster.
It's kind of growing a halo, isn't it, in some respects as well?
Yes.
Encountering other people, etc.
Yeah.
Now, with regards to yourself, have you always been a happy personality?
Well, I think I do have one of those personalities. I probably do always look at the glass being half full. That doesn't mean that I've always been cheerful or that I always am. And actually, I've come to appreciate happiness and the importance of really working on it an awful lot more since I've become a mum. Both my daughters were born with severe congenital heart defects. They've both had out-of-hospital cardiac arrests. They've both had open-heart surgery. The latest one was actually Hannah, who's now 15, had hers this summer. So we spent most of the summer at Birmingham Children's Hospital, and I was very conscious of working on all of our happiness while we were in hospital as well. So I definitely don't come at this from somebody who's just naturally chirpy and cheerful and tells everybody to just plaster a smile on. I do know from personal experience life does get tough, it does get challenging, and I'm not unique in that way. Everybody has their own challenges, and some far, far worse than my own. But there are always ways that you can pick yourself up, and that's the important thing, to know that you can do that.
Now, I do want to say, will you hang around for a bit? Will you linger for a bit for me, Frederick? Good, because we're going to have a record now, and then we've got more chat with Frederica. It's more tips and advice on how you can sort that attitude of yours out if you're finding yourself perhaps stuck in a bit of a rut with regards to the sads. Oof. Now then. Do you have some Who? Yeah, we'll have some Who. It's all decided. This is Pinball Wizard here on BBC Radio Sheffield. There's a Who. And Pinball Wizard here on BBC Radio Sheffield. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm joined by Frederica Roberts, who is... You're from Doncaster.
I'm based there, yes.
Thank you very much for popping by today.
Thanks for having me.
When we needed you most. Frederica is a motivational speaker in... Well, give us your... what is your title?
It is the happiness speaker. So what I do is help people to work on their happiness so that they can achieve more, whether it's students in school, whether it's people in business. So I work with a lot of the sort of year 10 and above students in schools when it comes to exam pressure and how to kind of overcome that and make sure that they can achieve to their best. I'm starting now to talk to people to actually work with teachers, because I used to be one and I know how stressful that is. So they definitely need techniques for happiness. I've worked with charities to help their staff when they've got really challenging situations to deal with. So a lot of what I do can be through workshops as well. It's not just me speaking at the front, but I do a lot of happiness activities as well as now the laughter yoga activities to go with it as well. So I suppose I challenge thinking and behaviours to help people to achieve more through being happier, because if you are happier, you're more successful in life. And that's been researched quite extensively, particularly at Harvard University by somebody called Sean Acor. And it really is about all the things, even really interesting experiments about people who were given obvious things to spot so they could win some money, but the happy people spotted them and the unhappy ones didn't, because we just don't see things that are right in front of our noses when we're miserable. So it makes real sense to actually work on our happiness, not just because life's more enjoyable, but because we can achieve so much more.
I think what I'd like to ask you at this point, and I know a few people out there will have a friend who is like this, and it is a friend, it's not me trying to disguise it. All right. So this particular friend I have is a phenomenal writer, a creative talent, I would say almost genius, but I think that's thrown around quite a bit these days. But he considers himself a poet. And there's very much this romanticised idea of being a poet, which means you invite melancholy into your life. Melancholy, you know, equating on a larger scale to depression. And he seems to revel in this attitude. He accepts that his life is more challenging, therefore he becomes more creative, or so he feels. Is he deluding himself? And how on earth can I just slap him about the face a bit without making physical contact, of course, and just say, what on earth are you on about? This is ridiculous. I want you to be happy. Surely you should want yourself to be happy. And he's like, no, don't want to be happy.
It's a tough one, because you can't make somebody be happy that doesn't want to be happy. You can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do, really. But I suppose it's the same argument as somebody, and again, it goes hand in hand with a lot of artistic, creative people sometimes, that perhaps in order to write, you need to drink a bottle of whiskey before you can do it, or, you know, and that kind of thing. And nobody would actually say that that's a healthy way to live. And actually, if they tried working without the alcohol, they would probably find that they work perfectly fine. Mm. I used to smoke, and I used to think that my best creativity came when I had a cigarette break outside, because I was uninterrupted and it was my thinking time. And I stopped smoking quite a few years ago, and I thought, how am I going to come up with ideas when I don't have that cigarette break thinking time? Well, do you know what? I come up with lots of ideas. I just have different thinking time. I might think of ideas when I'm in the shower, or I might just have a meditation,
reckon,
or go,
you know,
for a walk.
As
you know,
as a writer, they reckon that the best bits, if you are going to have a break, go to the loo, and if you're stuck on something, by the time you've come back, that's it.
Well, do you know, I didn't want to talk about the toilet, but yes, absolutely.
It's true. Now, I've got about a minute of this last final question. It's very important, everybody listen, please. For you, what is the meaning of life? Go.
I want to be on this planet and make the very most of my life. I want to enjoy myself and I want to leave something behind, some kind of legacy through my children, through the work that I do, by having helped others to also do the same and achieve their meaning of life and their legacy. I suppose that's as much as a philosophical question and answer.
There we go. Anyway, if you out there, if you know the meaning of life, could you please get in touch? Because I wouldn't mind settling that one, concluding that one, if that's okay. 81333, start your message with Sheffield. You can also call us on 0114 279 6699. Frederica, thank you so much for coming in. And if people want to find out more about you and what you do, and if you know, because everyone, we're touting our wares these days, aren't we, really? So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, if they go to my website, which is simply happiness-speaker.co.uk, then all my social media, all my contact details, everything is on there, as well as details of how to get my book. So if they want to book me, if they want to buy my book, whatever they want to do, or just have a chat with me, why not, and ask me more about happiness, then they'll find it all on my website. So happiness-speaker.co.uk, and thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The pleasure's been all ours, honestly. BBC Radio Sheffield.